The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
This is Palmore, and that's another song she wrote, and so praise the Lord for that. I love people that use their talents for the Lord. What a tremendous blessing. And so if God gives you the ability, the insight, the wisdom to be able to write songs or books or whatever, you ought to do that for God. And so what a wonderful blessing that is. You know, I know there's many watching from India tonight. And so India is a special place. It's full of dear people. We were welcomed. It was great. Some special things that happened. I know one night the pastor that brought the most visitors, one night he came up, I'm not sure what man preached, but he came up to me after the service and he said, I have a young Hindu boy here. I think he was something like 18 or 19 or so. And he said, I believe if you would talk to him, he'd get saved. He said, would you do that? Would you talk to him? I said, sure, I'd be honored to. And so I set him aside and was able to show him how to be saved. He was wide open. And, yes, I need Christ. And he understood it was Christ only one God. He understood God's Son, understood very much salvation. He bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. The next night, Brother Tommy brought, five or six of his friends? I'm not sure. Seven of his friends, and they got saved. And all Hindu young men came to the service. And the pastor just kept getting more and more on fire. And then he was trying to get some funds to be able to bring a bus or some type of means of transportation. And so we helped out with that as a team. And the next night, I think 68 people he brought to the service. And it was just great. And so I preached the message. I had Brother Tommy get up and use the big cards and evangelistic outreaches and open-air meetings and stuff. And he did an excellent job presenting the gospel that night. I think 18 that night, right? 18 came forward, received Christ as Savior. And so what a wonderful blessing. Then, the pastor was wanting us to do an open-air meeting. Well, I'd heard so much about India. I thought, okay, we're going to do an open-air meeting, and I'm going to write my wife. I'll say, this is John from Patmos. And I'm just, I'm in jail, please pray. I started a new ministry called Jail Ministry, I told the pastor, I said, I'd be glad to do it. Let's do it. But here's what I want to do. I want to do it later in the day. Because we're leaving the next morning. I just want to make sure I don't get in trouble. And so we did an open-air meeting. Brother Tommy and Brother Paliwafogo went to one town, and me and Pastor and Brother Bell went to another town. And where we were, of course, they had great results there too, with many people coming to the open-air meeting and them preaching the gospel. And where we were, as the group got up, the college kids got up to sing and trying to draw a crowd, and so sure enough, it drew a crowd. About four vehicles came up. Military men jump out, M80s. I mean, they're ready for action. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great, And so I went over and talked to the captain. And I said, hey, what's going on? He said, well, we heard that there was a group here with some Americans. And, we have to report stuff in and stuff like that. And I said, we're going to be in trouble. He said, no, I don't believe so. And he said, but we're here for your protection. Now, that made me feel good. Here we are. We got this open air meeting. And here's these military men. They got M80s. They're standing around listening. And one of those men received Christ as Savior. So, I mean, it was a neat thing. The water. I think one night we didn't have any water whatsoever. You say, what was that like? We smelt each other before we saw each other, and then of course there's one night no electricity, hot water. We were blessed. We had hot water. I think it was one night that we had hot water, and so we were blessed by that. And the people in India sacrifice. They really do. You think they have it good here in America. Can I tell you? You're right. You have it very good here in America. And many times they go without electricity. Never do they have hot water. They just do that special for the Americans and stuff like that. We didn't realize it was going to be cold. Everybody's walking around in Eskimo jackets. And here we are. We're walking around. We just have the suit coats. That's all we got. So many of the people are saying, wow, you Americans, you're strong. We're looking at each other saying, wow, we Americans, we're stupid. You know, because, you know, we didn't have any heavy jackets at all. I mean, it was just, you know, and so we're walking around just like this, you know, and you know, you have to walk tall. You have to walk stiff. And they thought, you know, real discipline is, no, man, we're just trying to stay warm, you know. But it was a great, it was over 500 saved. People surrendered to preach. Many of the college students had never had the understanding of how to lead somebody to Christ. But by the time we were done, they knew. And so I know that that'll continue. And so what a blessing. I appreciate Brother Tommy, you know, and Brother Bell and Brother Polywathical being a part of that team. And thank you for praying. I know some of you knew where we went. Some didn't. You just prayed, said, God, please protect them. And he did. And I came home, got off the plane. No, I did not kiss the ground. I kissed my wife, but it was great to be home. And so, thank you so much for praying. Hey, we're in Genesis chapter 21. Look at verse 5 again. This is our text verse. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto his young men, now by the way, they're going to Mount Moriah. You'll read this in the text. And it is the time that he's going to sacrifice Isaac, his son. But the Bible says here, and Abraham said unto his young men, so these young men is going along with him, says, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad, notice the faith, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, I want us to notice some things that could be very helpful to us when it comes to adjusting your focus. You know, when do you have to take and adjust your focus? I wrote some things down this afternoon. Well, when you wake up in the morning, you have to adjust your focus. You ever get up, have to go to the bathroom at night? You know, it's real dark. What do you have to do? Adjust your focus. When you get out of bed in the morning time, you have to adjust your focus. So oftentimes when you wake up in the morning time or you take an afternoon Baptist nap, you know, then you have to adjust your focus. You know, sometimes when getting up from a fall, maybe you've had a fall. I remember I used to ride horses coming up as a young man, and I would take off through the woods and whatnot on a horse or whatever. There's been many times I've fallen off of a horse. And can I tell you, great was the fall thereof. And I remember just kind of being in a daze and looking up, and sometimes that old horse would come back and like, ha, ha, ha. That old horse would come back and just stand right over me, you know, and just kind of look down like, what are you doing down there, big boy? But sometimes getting up from a fall, you have to adjust your focus. You know, when looking in a different direction, if you're swift to turn your head, maybe you're on a bike, maybe you're running, you're trying to go a different direction, yes, in your vehicle, you sometimes have to adjust your focus. Sometimes something gets in your eye. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? Hard to get things out of your eye. You people that have contact lenses, man, I tell you, you are brave people. But, when something gets in your eye, can I tell you, you have to adjust your focus. When you're going against the wind, ever do that? You're on a bike or you're out running or something like that, or, you know, you're pressing against the wind. Or even here in the Dallas metro area, seems like the wind blows all the time. Have you noticed that? No matter what day it is, some days it'll blow cool, some days it'll blow heat, depends on the season, but the wind always blows. Well, sometimes that wind brushes against you, pushes against you, and you've got to adjust your focus. Sometimes when recovering from a shock comes in your life, all of a sudden tears fill your eyes, you just can't believe that happened, and you have to adjust your focus. Sometimes the tears bring a burden, might not be a shock. Maybe you see a loved one that's getting ready to pass away, you're standing beside them, your heart is pulled, I mean, your heart is broken, and you're watching a dear loved one getting ready to go to heaven, maybe somebody that's not even saved. And man, your heart begins to break, your eyes begin to fill with tears, and puddles just begin to fill the floor. And what happens? You have to adjust your focus. You know, when you're not sure of God's will, sometimes you have to readjust your focus in order to know God's will. You have to readjust it. So how is it? How is it that you can adjust your focus. What can you do to adjust your focus? Let me give you some statements tonight, and we'll, after that, have an altar call, and then we'll go to the house. Statement number one, you should always be willing to obey God. When adjusting your focus, always be willing to obey God. Now, I want us to notice contextually tonight the verses about Abraham and the sacrifice of his son. This is a great Bible study. If you'll follow along, you'll get more out of it. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. All right. Now, wait a minute. What was so important about that? You should always be willing to obey God. Abraham had no clue at this point what God was going to ask of him. But here he said, here am I. So when God begins to speak to your heart, don't ask why. Just be willing to do what God wants you to do. By the way, God may never tell you why. You know, Philip left Samaria. I think some great things God was doing in Samaria at the time. Went to the backside of the desert. Had no clue that one day across that desert was going to come a eunuch and him be able to take the Bible using Isaiah and show him his need of Christ. But he didn't ask God, why do you want me to go to the backside of the desert? He didn't ask why. He simply did, and because he did that, this man got saved. You know, I don't think that we ought to spend as much time asking God why as we ought to obey him. You know, again, you if God doesn't tell you why, it might be because he doesn't think you need to know it. Well, God, show me why. And God says, I don't need to do that. You're supposed to obey me regardless of the why. By the way, that's what you expect out of your children. Why can't you allow God to expect that much out of you? Statement number one, I'm saying this, you should always be willing to obey God. Statement number two, listen to every detail. Listen to every detail. When God is beginning to show you something, pay close attention. You ever do this? You ever try to build the swing set without the instructions? You ever do that? Oh, I can handle it. Man, I can look at the box and the box. I'm just going to follow the box. Yeah, but the box doesn't tell you this little screw or this little bolt or this little nut. It doesn't say any of that. You know, you just look at the big picture. You know, you do that. I don't know if you've ever done it. I've done it. Yeah. I've done it. Then all of a sudden there's a pile of screws and bolts and nuts over here. And I'm like, what are they for? Must be extra. Kid gets on the swing, the whole thing collapsed. Okay? I'm saying listen to every detail. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 2, the Bible says, and he said, take now thy son. Now watch specifically. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Notice the emphasis here. Whom thou lovest. Notice the emphasis. See, God knows everything about you. God knows your likes, he knows your dislikes, he knows your loves, he knows your hates, he knows everything about you. All of a sudden something happens in your life, it didn't all of a sudden just wake God up. God knows every trial you're going through, God knows every problem that you're facing in your life. Nothing shocks God. The Bible says here, the Bible says, and he says, and he said, and take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. You imagine now what Abraham is facing in his heart, and offer him there for a burnt offering onto one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He said, well, I just want you to get your son and go. Now understand this, though, you're going to offer that boy. By the way, he just explained really how Abraham felt about his son. He said, this is your only son, your beloved son, the one that you lovest more than anything else in all the world. By the way, sometimes God asks tough things. You know, maybe you got some goals in your life and you say, this is what I want. Can I tell you, God is more interested in what's better for you, not necessarily what you want. And sometimes what is better for you, you don't have a clue. So God says, that's where I've got to step in, and you're going to have to trust me. By the way, children should always trust their father. In the Bible, God never calls you an adult. God always calls you a little child. He always calls you children. You never grow out of being a child of God. So God expects you to trust him as your father just as much as you expect your children to trust you as their father. So I'm saying this tonight. You should always, hey, what do you do? How is it that you can adjust your focus? Statement number one, you should always be willing to obey God. Statement number two, listen to every detail. God is not going to leave anything out. Now, wait a minute. God will not tell you everything that you want to know. God will only tell you what he wants you to know. Well, God, I want you to reveal this. God says, none of your business. Well, God, show me why this is happening. God says, just be patient. By and by, I'll show you. Look, never get that you're impatient with God. Well, God, I've been praying this prayer for 2 years. God of heaven looks down and says, good, keep praying. Never get impatient with God. I believe you ought to use me this way. God says, thank you very much. I'll use you the way I want to use you. Amen. It doesn't matter. I love you. I'm just being straightforward tonight. Your opinion doesn't count. We ought to decide that we ought to obey God, and it doesn't matter. Oh, but God, don't you know, I didn't think it would work out this way. When I married her, when I married him, I just thought it would be different. Hello? When I got into the ministry, God, I thought everybody would love me. Hello? I thought when I got in the ministry and served God for 6 months, there'd be 9 colleges wanting to give me an honorary doctorate degree. I'm saying this, listen to every detail. You know, God's got something. See, we get so impatient. We've got all the video games. We got this, that, and the other. And so what happens is, if you're involved in a lot of that stuff, you are tense most of the time. Because that stuff makes you tense. Now, sometimes you ought to just decide you're going to fast from the video games. Now, I know that would kill you. But if you would do that for a while, you wouldn't be so edgy. By the way, some of you ought to turn off Fox News and not listen to it in the morning because it ruins you the rest of the day. You know, that stuff is like poison inside the system. A rocket man's going to shoot a rocket and blow us all to smithereens. Come on. That's been a threat for what? Over a year now? And every morning you hear it and you wake up tense. Is it coming? Well, if it's coming, what are you going to do? Take out your umbrella? Look, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying you should always be willing to obey God. Statement number one. Statement number two. Listen to every detail. God's details may be different than yours. Well, I tell you what, I wish that I could be this away. Your mother doesn't. Well, I wish I could accomplish this. Your father doesn't. Statement number next, obey without question. Obey without question. And notice this, I taught a series on understanding the will of God. I said this, that God will only use those to go to the where if they're busy first doing the what. You'll find that principally given all the way throughout your scriptures. There's no difference here. Notice Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, and Abraham arose up early in the morning and he prayed. It's not what it says. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and begged God, please change your mind. He didn't do it. He didn't say, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and began the fast before he obeyed. Didn't say that. The Bible does say, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And it says, and clave the wood, it says, for the burnt offering, and rose up, and he went onto the place of which God hath told him. He did it without question. By the way, now he already knows he's supposed to sacrifice his son. Now he already knows he's supposed to give a burnt offering. Now he already knows that his own beloved flesh and blood is what God is going to require. He already knows he's going to have to give a sacrifice. Yes, perhaps way beyond reason, but he didn't doubt it. He did what God told him to do. And if you decide to do what God tells you to do, later on, God will show you the where. See, we get so busy. God, where do you want me? Why are you doing that? By the way, until you get busy serving God right now, doing the what, God will never show you the where. Amen. God, where? You show me where, and I'll go serve God there. What are you talking about? You're not even serving God here. If you're not serving God here, how can God expect to use you somewhere else? You think all of a sudden when you leave here, you're going to turn into some Superman? Some Superwoman? Well, I'll tell you what, Parkside Baptist Church, I've heard this. By the way, I heard this when I pastored in Tennessee. Other preachers tell me they hear the same. They say, well, I need to go to another church because after all, I'm not growing at Parkside Baptist Church. Well, friend, if the food is put before you on the table and you're not eating it, it's not our fault. There has to come a time when you take the spoon, put it in, bring it up, and put it in the mouth. Somewhere along the line, we have to learn to grow up. Well, you know, hey, I'm just not being spoon-fed. What are you talking about? You've been saved for 3 years. Most children learn to eat on their own within 3 years. Look, I'm saying this tonight. It's very simple what the Bible says. Here's what it says. It teaches us tonight, principally driven here, that you should always be willing to obey God. Statement number two, listen to every detail. Statement number three, obey without question the what. Statement number four, see where God has for you. See, if you're busy doing, now watch this. A person that is always, always, where does God want me? Where does God want me? Where does God want? When they're doing that, they're so busy, you know. Here's a young man wants the pastor. So what's he do? He gets on the internet, Googles it. Vacant churches looking for pastor. Makes up a nice resume. These are all the things I've done. Sends the resume in. Yeah, I think churches were better off when they just chose a man of God for who the man of God is than going by what the man of God says he is. The proof of the pudding should always be in the eating. Not the displaying of the way you see your own goods. Well, I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. Wow. You don't need cheerleaders. You're your own squad. I'm saying this tonight. Watch this, if you will. Here it is. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that see the where God has for you. Look at it. Genesis, we're staying with our Bible. Genesis chapter 21, verse 4. The Bible says that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Now, wait a minute. He didn't see it until he decided to obey whatever God wanted. You know, it may take God 20 years to train you before he ever sends you anywhere. Oh, no, preacher. 20 years. May I remind you, please? Our Lord started his earthly ministry at 30 years. Can I remind you, please, there was a time when Moses went up to the mount. Then he went up to the mount again. But if I remember, it's a time of old age. That's when God started using him. I think there was a man in the Bible by the name of Caleb. He said, I want that mountain. I think he was like in his 80s. See, here's what, yeah, I'm 16 years of age. Man, I want to graduate, go to Bible college, get through it, start pastoring at the age of 20. Yes, God's going to give me a church the size of Parkside Baptist Church at the age of 22. Yes. I'm going to get married at the age of 24, and I'm going to start counseling people, tell them how to get over their marriage difficulties after I've been married at least 1 month. Now, I'm just saying the truth. Sometimes we just need to settle down and just love God where we are. I think you've been watching too many superhero movies. Break through the wall. Then you come away saying, I can do that. I've got a word for you. I dare you. It's not going to happen. Look, just try to be a normal Christian. If God wants to use you above the fray, then let God be the one that picks you. Don't try to become something that God, it's dangerous. Don't try to become something that God doesn't have planned for your life. Man, be happy where you are. Enjoy being a Christian. Enjoy having a great family. By the way, if you're a godly mother, you're already a success. If you're a godly father, you're already a success. What are you doing comparing yourself to someone else? Man, you already deserve the crown. You're doing a wonderful job. Come on. If you're a godly husband, hey, you've arrived. What more do you want? If you're a God, I think we're, because our society does this to us. You know, the striving for success is always do a little more. Do a little more. Do a little, you'll die. I was invited to go eat with the Davises today. What a blessing. My wife and I went, we sat, we ate, we got done eating, we said goodbye. They already had a host, said goodbye. Where'd you go? I went home. What'd you do? I went to bed. You say, but preacher, you're supposed to be super, yes, intelligent. There comes a time when you drive yourself and drive yourself and drive yourself until there's no more drive. If you want to live to be old, you're going to have to plan it in a reasonable manner. Come on. Some of you women, wives, if you will, you look at your husband and say, I just want him to do more. The poor guy's doing all he can. Man, thank God for him. Go eat pizza. Thank God for him. Go spend a lot of money. Go to McDonald's. Have a date. Peanut butter and jelly to the park. Statement number one, you should always be willing to obey God. Statement number two, listen to every detail. We're talking about adjusting your focus. Statement number three, obey without question the what of God's will. Statement number four, see where God has for you. Almost done. Statement number five, have enough faith to believe that God knows what he's doing. That's a heavy one. Have enough faith to believe that God knows what he's doing. Oh, well, I think that I should. No, forget. Get away from that. Get away from, put that in the freezer. Get away from that. God talks about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He didn't say the years of a good man. The steps. Well, what are you going to do 5 years from now? How about living for God today? Somebody says, well, I don't know if I can be faithful to church all year. But you could be faithful to church next Sunday. I just don't know if I can read the Bible through in 1 year. You can read what you're supposed to read today. So I love you. We're an aggressive soul winning church. We have 9 different soul winning ministries. We run buses. We try to keep the standards high. We preach it right. We teach it right. I believe the Lord God of heaven can look down and say that this is a church right here that's pleasing God. I believe he could say that. But if you're not careful, you will, you know, a person can continue to serve in the flesh, but after a while, the arm of the flesh, according to the scriptures, will fail you. You can pretend to be spiritual for a while. And by the way, sometimes it's even fun to be spiritual. Yeah. Go to a dead church, nobody says amen. Oh, we had fun with that, didn't we, Brother Tom? Man, none of the guys over there was saying amen. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me teach you about church. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me help you. Let me help you. All right, fellas, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you how to encourage your pastor in the Lord. So your pastor's preaching. He's up here saying, hey, this is what the Bible says. You're supposed to go soul winning. You're supposed to obey God. I said, watch me, fellas. When I raise my right hand, I want you to shout amen. Okay? And by the way, fellas, I'm talking to you. You ready? Here we go. So you're supposed to go soul winning. You're supposed to be faithful to God. It's a little short guy back there about like this. Oh, yeah, pretty good. They said amen so loud, I think they scared each other. But after a while, different preachers would come up. They would raise their hand. The preachers even liked it, man. They raised their hand. People were saying amen. Say, what is that? Paul said that he was sent to the church to tell them how to behave. I'm being honest with you. You know, a lot of churches don't have good altar calls. I'm going to tell you why. Because they've never trained their people that the altar is for you. The average person that comes to church, they have no clue what this is. It's a bunch of steps. They have no idea. Now you got an invitation. What's that for? Then they see some... Then they see some people come forward, you know, for the invitation, and they sit back there and say, man, look at that sinner. Can I tell you, the people that are the most right with God should be the ones that hit the altar first. Amen. Not the ones that are getting right with God, but the ones that's most right with God. You say, why? Maybe you ought to pray for your preacher. Amen. By the way, this is one guy needs a lot of help. Maybe you ought to pray for him. Yeah. Maybe you ought to pray for staff. Yeah. Maybe you ought to pray every service. You guys having trouble with your children and child rearing? You got a rebel on your hands? Why aren't you at the altar every single time the altar call is given? What's your hang up? Come on. I know young people. I know our church people. We got young people sitting in this room tonight. Your mom's not saved, your dad's not saved, and you never come to the altar. Don't sit there and tell me you really want them to be saved. Don't give me that baloney. Man, if your mom and your dad is not saved, you'd be the first one to hit the altar every service. You'd be bawling and squalling. The problem is you're so far away from God, you've lost your spiritual burden. We have marriages that's in trouble. I'm talking about in this room tonight. Marriages in trouble. You go home, it's fight time. Come on, baby, I love you. Let's get it on, she says to him. Marriage is in trouble. Why not hit the altar? Say, God, look, we're coming home. Need you. Everything else we've tried hasn't worked yet. So God, it's about time we give you a chance. Man, some of you have debt way up to there. You got credit card debt. Some of you have sick kids you need to become praying for. How do you adjust your focus? You should always be willing to obey God. Statement number one. Statement number two, listen to every detail. Statement number three, obey without question the what. Statement number four, see where God has for you. Statement number five, have enough faith to believe that God knows what he's doing. Notice this. I love this one verse in this particular chapter because it shows me the faith of Abraham. It's our text verse. You ever see it? You ever really see it? See, no wonder he knew. A matter of fact, according to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 13, he's included that your seed is going to be multiplied through your children. He had one only begotten, if I may say begotten, or I should say only one, take the word begotten, only one son. his beloved son. He had a promise that was given to him that through him his seed would multiply. He knew God was going to be able either to spare his son or to raise his son again. He knew the heart of God. Watch this. I'm done. Here it is. I'm almost done. Genesis 21, verse 5. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto his men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Watch it. And come again unto you. So he understood. Now, I'm going to have enough faith just to believe God knows what he's doing. Yeah, the last statement, I'm done. Here it is, okay? Take your family with you on the journey. Somebody asked me years ago, we were in evangelism for 12 years. You will not believe the amount of meetings that different preachers wanted to fly me to, good-sized churches, and I said no. No. If I can't bring my family, I'm not coming. My family needs a dad. My wife needs a husband. I had a guy one time, he said, man, I'd like to sell you an RV. I said, I want your RV. He said, no, every evangelist needs an RV. I said, that's why you got one. You're an every evangelist. I'm not an every evangelist. I don't want your RV. He said, what are you going to do? I said, if I go to a church, the people need to bear the burden just as much as I bear the burden in coming. If they can't take care of us, they shouldn't have us. That's why we have people come through. I want us to take good care of them. I want them to know that they're loved. If they take up the burden of coming, we ought to take up the burden of helping them and at least showing them we love them. Here it is, I'm done. So take the family on the journey with you. By the way, we stepped out in evangelism. The kids will remember. My dear wife will remember. There was times we slept in the nursery on the floor. Wasn't no hotels. We slept in Sunday school classrooms on the floor. Wasn't no nice hotels. We slept in truck stops. Wasn't nothing. When we started off, he said, oh, preacher, you've always preached in churches of 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000. No, not always. That's right. Not always. When we first started off, we sacrificed. When we had money to buy French fries, it was a big deal. We taught our children, be thankful. We'd divide the fries among the six of us, and they would say, thank you, Daddy, for the fry. Yeah. And sometimes they lick the salt off of it. And they put it in. And then it became famous. My wife started it. It's all her fault. She'd get the Frosties. You ever do it? You need to. Follow Miss Wells. She's a good leader. Got the Frosty and put the French fry in the Frosty? Yeah. Yeah, they loved it. They loved it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we took them on the journey. My kids got to see the sacrifice. See, for those of us that's been in the ministry a long time and God has blessed us now with things, if you're not careful, that'll ruin your kids. Because your kids think, wow, the ministry is nothing but roses. Look at this. We've got everything. And they have no sacrifice in living for Jesus Christ. It could ruin a kid. And so I'm saying this. Take your kids with your family on the journey. Let me give you some scripture and I'm done. Look at verse 6. The Bible says that Abraham took the wood, it says, of the burnt offering and laid it, says, upon Isaac, his son. So Isaac is also bearing the burden. The Bible says, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And then they went, it says, to them, it says, went both of them together. So they're serving together. By the way, if I had a grocery store, I'd do my best to hire my children. If I had a mechanic store, I'd do my best to hire my children. I tell pastors all over America, they say, do you have a good assistant pastor you could send me? I said, do you have kids? Do you have kids? Have you trained your son in the ministry? Has he been with you all these years and sacrificed just like you? He ought to be the first one you consider, unless he's an egghead. So I've tried to make a way for my children to be involved in the ministry and to serve God. Yeah, I want them to be as much of a part as they possibly can. I know Jared's called in the future. He'll be heading out, kind of replacing me, you know, and into an evangelism field and stuff like that. And I think that's neat. Oh, wait a minute. God wants to use your children, all of them. Genesis chapter 21, verse 7, I'm closing it down now. The Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, Father, he said, here I am. He said, here am I. He says, my son. Now watch this. He's talking about the burnt offering. He's talking about, okay, where's going to be the lamb? You'll see in verse 8 that Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Look at verse 9. The Bible talks about how they built the altar. They put wood there on the altar. He bound his son, placed him on the altar. Can you imagine what that boy is thinking? In verse 10, the Bible says he stretched forth his hand. He took a knife out to slay his son. Verse 11, here it goes. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven. You say, what was that? You read the very first verse of the Bible that we talked about in this particular chapter. It says he tempted him. He was checking him out. See, sometimes God will say, hey, we got missions conference coming up. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, says, I want you to go to Africa. I want you to go to the Philippines. I want you to go to India. And you say, okay, God, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And you come forward and you say, I believe God wants me to go to India. You do all the preparation work. You get ready to go. Then God says, no, I just want to see if you're willing. That's why I tell people, don't judge people that changes courses. If they're walking with God, that is not their choice. That's God's choice. And we taught it over and over again. A missionary comes to states and serves in some capacity in a church, or maybe somebody leaves serving in the capacity of a church and they become a pastor, and then later on they become an evangelist or whatever. Hey, your responsibility is to follow the course that God has before you, whatever it is. Don't worry about what people say. Okay, here it is. I'm done. The Bible says here that the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, or called, it says, unto him out of heaven. And Abraham, he's always saying, here am I. Here am I. God, whatever you want. Hey, God, whatever you want, here I am. Here it is, verse 12. The Bible says, and laid not by hand upon the latch, so he's telling him not to do that. Watch this, verse 13, and I'm done. Here it is. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, it says, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up, it says, for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You say, but what if God really wanted that? But Abraham knew that was through him that his seed would be multiplied. So he knew if I did have to go through this and kill my own son, God is God. And sometimes we forget. You know, God says, well, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to do thus. I want you to do so. Here's the way we ought to be as children of God. Yes, sir. But the road may seem hard, so be it. But it may be difficult, so be it. Come on. By the way, what's so hard about coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, passing out a couple of tracts during the week just to show somebody they don't have to burn in hell? Man, what's so hard about that? That sounds to me like the life of Riley. Oh, good to see you, Riley, sitting right over there. Now, may I say this? I'm saying that God wants to use you. And God does want to use you, adjusting your focus. Say, preacher, I got my focus off. You can get it back. Preacher, I'm just out of focus. You can get it back. But can I tell you, sometimes you got to get it back every single day of your life. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.